This is Lennon Mishi from the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, community-led strategies for creative and heritage-based interventions in sub-Saharan Africa. We are funded through the Arts and Humanities Research Council and the Global Challenges Research Fund to explore how approaches from the arts and humanities can address contemporary forms of enslavement by adopting a community-engaged human rights focus that delivers development impacts. In this podcast, we discuss some of the commissioned work that has been produced through the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network and their collaborating partners.
Hi, I'm Lennon from the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, and I'm here in Kenya, Nairobi, with Mark and Isabel from Community Stories in Rongo. Can you please introduce yourselves and the project?
Hi, I'm Isabel Zatu. I'm a co-I in collecting community stories on issues of modern-day slavery in Migori County.
And hi, I'm Enoch Makuma, co-investigator in a project funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council of United Kingdom through the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, which is based at the University of Liverpool. I'm happy to be here in Nairobi with the rest of beneficiaries of the funding grant. And so far, it's been so good. Thank you.
Can you tell us a bit more about what your project constitutes?
Well, our project basically is about collecting stories on child labor and child marriage within Migori County. Now, this project is informed by the fact that problems related to child labor and child marriage are still quite common in a community or a location which is multi-ethnic. Migori County consists of the Luo community, which is a Nilotic speaking group, and the Kuria community, which is a Bantu speaking group. These two different communities culturally sort of have a role to play in the way issues of child labor and child marriage happen. Because, for example, the Kuria community, they practice female genital mutilation. And female genital mutilation, when it happens, it is sort of considered culturally as a crucial stage in the life of a girl child. And once that rite is performed, the girl is now considered an adult, ready for marriage and ready to take up responsibilities of family. Now, this is an issue that became of interest to us as a team, and we noticed that probably it would be nice to carry on investigations and see to what extent it contributes to child labor and to what extent it contributes to child or early marriage.
Thank you. Isabel, so in what ways do you think arts and humanities-based approaches have been useful in working with these communities?
At the moment, we were thinking of, when you're talking about community stories, collecting these stories in form of, we have drama, we have music, and all these different forms of art is done by the community themselves. And in the community, we have children, we have women group, we have men group. And when we engage them, like the approach that we are using, which is community-based participatory research, this is where each and every person in the community is given a chance to express themselves in all those forms of, it could be narrative, it could be drama, it could be art, each and any form that a person feels like they can express themselves in and get the maximum out of it. And with the methodology that we're using, it is quite to our advantage because we get the best out of it. And we also get the community to participate. And in our engaging with the community, there's an impact of empowering. We get to empower the community. This one I can see as a capacity building approach where we have the men and women and even teenagers who we get to teach how to do simple recordings, do simple editing, and on the long run we will have an output of programs that will run in the community radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say have been some of the challenges of either these methods or approaches or of just your work in the community in general?
Okay, some of the challenges from my side is commitment from the community. Some community members feel like specific members or specific groups have taken it up as we're the ones leading this, and therefore there's some that feel we are left out. It is difficult to bring all aspects of the community together to work towards a specific goal. So sometimes there are those who are committed, some drop out, it becomes an issue of commitment.
And in addition, Lennon, to the challenges that Isabel has mentioned, using arts and humanities, and especially photography, drama, theater, and then involving community members of community to participate actively in the process is a challenge, because we had the option of using experts who are already trained in photography. But our idea was to integrate community as part of the team and work with them throughout the process. So it means, therefore, that they have to be trained in all this so that they get good knowledge and skills on how to handle a camera, how to shoot, how to record, how to edit. So this has taken part of the time that we need to run the program and finish. Then the other issue is, I mentioned this when we had this conversation, that Migori, where the project is located, is multi-ethnic. We have different communities. So if it means, therefore, that if we have to use the local languages, which is obvious anyway, at times we are speaking with the Kuria community that speak Kuria as a language predominantly, and at other times we are speaking with members of the Luo community who speak and understand very well the Luo language. But I forgot to mention also, we have a small population of the Luhya community also within Migori County. So at some point again, we will have to work with the Luhya community as we generate data, our source for information. It means, therefore, that we are working in one single project. There's a possibility of working with at least three different languages. Thank you.
Yes, I mean you can think of it as a challenge, but you can also think of it as an added advantage to the project, that is, it allows different languages and different forms of expression as the community participates, which can be read as a strength. Mm-hmm. Going forward, what kinds of support do you think you would need or look out for to upscale your work, its impact, or to engage stakeholders that you might otherwise not yet?
Well, thank you so much, Lennon, for bringing up the issue of upscale. Realistically, our methodology, as already explained, is generating stories using photography, recording voices. But again, we want to bring all this on the table of community radio platform. And once this is done, we are not looking forward to a scenario whereby we'll have one radio program, say, or two or three. But we'd like this conversation to continue so that community awareness on issues child labor, on issues child marriage, is raised to a very high level, then we want to take this conversation even further to potential policymakers and other stakeholders within community. This means we cannot just have one radio program or two or three or one or two podcasts. We might need several. But again, the issue of different languages spoken within Migori County also brings in another demand for more support in terms of resources, in terms of expertise. Who is going to translate this accurately so that if it was recorded, for example, in the Luo, but now we want to do a radio program in Luya, is it the actual content as it was recorded without any distortions? So all these challenges, are exciting in a way, but it means therefore that we have to begin thinking about where do we get more resources, where do we get more expertise to help us put all this together for the radio programs. Thank you.
Yeah, and like on the issue of upscaling, we are looking at having a community radio. We are in the process of installing a community radio in the community, but we need more resources to finalize this idea. And we get that from this platform of community radio, we're going to call out, the community is going to call out the stakeholders and the policymakers who are reluctant to do anything about issues of modern day slavery, as my colleague has mentioned, on child marriage and child labor. So that is our big impact and our big output, that we're looking out for. So I hope by the end of the process, we are going to at least achieve this, because it is sustainable, and the community has already owned this idea as their own, which means that even when we, as Rongo University and University of Brighton, when we pull out, there is sustainability issue that can continue.
Yeah. Any other aspects of your work that you'd want to highlight? Learning points, takeaways?
Well, for me, one important thing that I want to mention here is the networking aspect of the project that the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network has introduced through this workshop that is ending today or tomorrow. It's been very good because when you work as a team on your project somewhere in the interior part of Kenya, then there's another group working on the project as a team in the interior part of Uganda. You might not really know the challenges that different groups are experiencing, but you might also not be aware of potential issues that you might integrate or bring together to help you achieve your goals and objectives. So I think this workshop really has worked very well to solve this problem. Now we know what our colleagues and grantees are doing in Uganda. We know what our colleagues and co-grantees are doing elsewhere, and we've had a fantastic meeting. So for me, if we could have another session like this one, maybe sometimes in the near future, well, I would say very nice.
Thank you. Isabel, any last thoughts?
Yeah, from the workshop, I think we have benefited the most because we are yet to go out to the field, so we have like a guideline of do's and don'ts. So we have really benefited in a way that we're going to incorporate all these things, and I'm sure it will help us in our research to make it more productive.
So have we. I mean, the benefit is reciprocal. As you've been learning, we have equally been learning, and we're grateful for you taking time to contribute and share your insights.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network podcast, Creative Paths to Freedom. For more information on the work that the network is doing, please find us on Twitter, Instagram, and our page on the University of Liverpool website.